The devil with such wrath knows he has to change his strategy. And the strategy is this. I'm going after their very faith. I'm going after their homes, their marriages. I'm going to try to paralyze every spiritual man and woman on the face of the earth.
There's something in you that says, I can do more. This just can't be it. There's something in you. There's a calling on your life. But I got a saying, when life knocks you down, try and land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered the heart of mankind what's in store for you if you challenge yourself, if you persist and persevere.
Because real lions like to hunt. They love the process just as much as they love the prize. And some of y'all just want to score. You don't like the process. You're not in love with the process.
And we're out on the radio, guys. Those of you on Facebook Live, thank you for joining us this evening. This was a really, really successful show. Numbers-wise, I hope it was edifying for you. Thank you all for your kind words, and we're trying to do our best to get through. There are a ton of comments just in the time, so we'll do our best. You can always email me at onthatdayministries@gmail.com or send a private message to – this is a very sensitive subject – send a private message to the Facebook page itself. There's been a couple of questions that I think, for the most part, we answered. As far as one of the questions had to do with, after coming out, is from the guy's perspective, how do you help your wife feel more attractive after this?
Ooh, that's a good one. Okay, every wife is different. For me, I actually needed him to ignore that part.
That's right. Yeah.
Because here's the thing, subconsciously, and still I don't think I can articulate exactly what was going on. This is probably something I need to probably deal with the therapist on. But because he had spent so many years like objectifying women on a screen, I think I'm pretty sure that my problem is I was feeling objectified as well.
Yeah, that you communicated and, that a lot.
Okay, and yeah. So I didn't like to be oogled. I didn't like to be caught without my clothes on.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all stuff like that. So I don't know. I think that's a question you really need to ask your wife. How can you feel more beautiful? Because I'll be honest with you, with us, the answer would have been, pursue me. You know, show intention towards me.
Right.
Because that lets me know that you actually want to spend time with me and not that I'm like, hey, let's go do something and you just go along.
That's right. Yeah. So as far as that goes, I think maybe one of the questions, one of the answers is make her feel valued. Let me see here. What else we got? I don't know of any
we
other.
We had a question about leaders or husband leadership, and the topic wasn't completely relevant, but I do want to say this, because in our case, Cole really wanted to be seen as the head of the household and the leader, and I had been praying for that, and then it just took a turn that I wasn't expecting. But the thing is, I articulated this, oh gosh, a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I remember where I was actually when I said this, but I had a hard time following him on anything because I felt like if he got this wrong,
yep,
then does he get everything else wrong? Like if he is getting this wrong, then who's guiding him? Is God,
yeah,
is he really following the Father? And so if you're having a lot of trouble following your husband, then maybe that's a discussion that you need to have if he's ready for it. And now, like, I feel like very different about that now.
Yeah, I think when I had shot myself in the foot, to use a military expression, with my leadership with the porn addiction, and then I turn around and Torah gets revealed to us, and then I'm bringing Torah to you, and she's going, is this just another thing? How can I trust you with this when it mattered? You know, so, and I had to fight through that, and even during that whole process, we're still dealing with a lot of this stuff. So, as far as the leadership goes, ladies, what I want to say this is take your time, pray about it. Like Jennifer said, I do think, well, number one, if we're not respecting you, according to 1 Peter 3:7, if a man is not respecting his wife, our prayers are blocked.
Yes.
So acting treacherously toward our wife, which is what we end up doing when we have this addiction in the shadows, we're trying to skirt the system, so to speak. Our prayers are blocked. Ladies, you have a wide open highway. And I can tell you right now, if you think for a second that your prayers aren't heard, I'm going to tell you right now. And another word I heard right before this was the test for men. The test is over when the Father says it's over, not when we want it to be over. And so keep your prayers up and pray intensely, because I am the product of praying women in my life, grandmother, mother, and wife. And so I can tell you right now that if a former occultist porn addict can be sitting here teaching you about spiritual warfare and overcoming addiction, anything's possible.
Right.
That's part of my testimony.
And I have a very dear friend who is probably watching right now. And when we were struggling the most, we were struggling a lot through many years, but when she was in my life, at least every conversation I had with her was about my marriage. And she would always check me. She would say, "Jennifer, are you praying for him?" Like, not praying for him. Are you praying for him? So what she meant was, am I praying for his heart? Am I praying for, you know, some serious things? Because when you're upset with somebody, it's really hard to pray for them. But you can't stay mad for too long when you're praying for somebody. You don't hate somebody that you pray for. And so that can be very healing too. But also, like Cole said, we've got that open highway. But you want to make sure that you approach the Father with the right heart posture, and that you're not wanting your spouse to change because of you. You want him to change for himself and for his relationship with God. That's always going to be the most important, because a man who is pursuing the Father's heart is also going to be a man that pursues your heart and pursues the hearts of your children and wants to do good in the world.
Which is, in Malachi, is one of the signs of the end, is that the hearts of the father will return to the children, and the children will return to the fathers. And so as far as, I don't know if there's any other questions, they keep pouring in, I'm trying to keep up with them. And we will put a list of books that we recommend. Jennifer, I had a couple, actually. Do you have those around?
Well, I have The Hope After Betrayal, and you can get them on Amazon. It comes in a workbook and a book. But they're also the groups too that you can get in on, if there's one in your area. If there's not, you can probably start one. It doesn't take much to be a leader. You don't have to be perfect and fixed and everything. You could still be in your mess, to lead a group like that. But it can be really empowering to get around other people who are dealing with what you do. And, you know, we cry, we laugh, and, you know, we hold each other accountable as well.
So let me see here. I don't know if there was another. I think we answered the two questions that came in. The difference in spiritual, I can tell you that we tend to hope that the other person validates us in marriage with what we are struggling with sometimes. I think we hope that the other person is going to be the answer to all of our problems. And I meet young people all the time who go through this massive shift from idyllic romantic infatuation to this slam into reality of what they're dealing with, what their future is going to be, and what the project they have on their hands. And I can tell you that we're 16 years in.
Yeah.
16 years in, and we are just really getting to the place where we're in, you know, I hate to say this, but really, really enjoying our marriage.
Yeah, and we're 2 years into recovery. So when you hear people talking about recovery and everything, recovery is not the same as sobriety. So, I'm not going to get into this with us, but, you know, the moment that he stops using, you know, the drug of choice is not mean that he's healed, okay?
Yep.
Because it's really just the stop of the actual sin part. When you move forward without actually going into recovery, you still have a distance. You still have shame. You still have, you're triggered a lot, lack of motivation. For a lot of guys, it looks like not wanting to exercise or take care of themselves. I see that a lot.
Gluttony, drunkenness, other drug abuse, those type of things. It's all self-hatred.
Playing too many video games.
That's a big one.
On your phone constantly.
It's the same drug. Pornography and video games is the same drug in the head.
It's the screen. It's the pixel. Yep. It's the pixels of the screen. I wouldn't say like social media is necessarily that, but it is the screen. And so, oh, and then I get this question all the time: is it okay to send my husband flirty, romantic, kind of risque pictures of myself? Ladies, no, it's not okay.
Not if you're a porn addict, I'll tell
you that
right
now.
It
is not okay, and actually, I don't think it's okay for any guy. It's just my opinion.
And here's why, from a guy's perspective. I'm so glad you said this. Here's why. Because it's not you, it's this. It's not you, it's this. It's not the subject, it's the avenue that it comes through. That's the addiction as well, okay? So when you do that, you're trying to get into a world you don't want to be part of.
Well, you said it the other day. It's not, it's also something else. It's an imprint.
Imprint, yeah.
So you use the word imprint. Why don't you talk about what is it that?
So what is it that? It's been a long show. Keep each other humble. Trust me, she'll get a good one in on me here soon. So imprinting was when you have that first super intense, as a guy, super intense sexual moment. It causes an imprint on the brain, and the avenue through which that came through is the avenue that you are always going to favor. Now, that is why the Father made that so powerful and so vivid, I guess I should say, that he wanted, his design was that the first time you experience that is with your spouse. Now, for me, it was at 5 years old with a TV. Screens have always been an issue, and that distance type of thing. So what I want to say to you is this, that the imprint, if you are doing that and he's asking you to do that, basically that is I'm going to say a strong thing here, ladies, that's enabling.
Yeah. And so this is a common myth that guys need to have like this release all the time. And so they use that as an excuse. And so then the wife is like, well, if I at least provide him with the picture, then at least he's not doing the other thing. When really, I think you're doing a lot of subconscious damage to yourself and furthering that feeling of objection.
Objectification.
Yes, there we go. And there was even a period in our marriage where I had a fight or flight sensation whenever I would be too close proximity to you, or when you would be flirty with me and there would be no one else around. Like, I actually would feel that. And I remember thinking, where is this coming from? It's like I'm responding like as if I have been traumatized physically. Yeah. And fortunately, that was a very short period of time, and I'm over it now. But it can, you don't want to keep providing that way. And imprinting can even go to, you know, that first moment that one of your kids accidentally catch something online, and then they have that release at the same time. Which is why also that everything in that realm, I'm trying to keep it PG.
Yeah, I know.
Everything in that realm needs to wait until you're married, because you want your wife or you want your spouse to imprint on you.
It turns on, as especially a child, it turns on a radar for sexual attention that you don't understand. That was something I remember as a kid. I had this hunt for that sensation again, but I didn't understand why. Mm-hmm. And that really created this fascination in me from the age of 5 onward that I'm going, okay, well, this is something I feel like I need, that it was a lot of fun, but at the same time, it was so damaging, and it made relationships. The second, I remember when we were talking about relationships, before my wife, I didn't have a relationship that lasted longer than 3 months. And it was because the second the fantasy's over, bye, gone. And it really hurt, they left or I left, one of the two. And so it does hurt relationships. It causes you to, and another part of this is, and I feel like I need to go here, it causes a lot of egotism and egocentrism, which means that everything revolves around you and satisfying that. One thing that I noticed in our recovery was how much when Jennifer and I were fighting, how much I talked about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, that's no good.
You know? And so whenever I had a problem, like he did something that made me feel a certain way and I wanted to use, you know, the proper language, hey, hon, you did this thing. Yeah. And when you do that, it makes me feel like this, which is the proper way to communicate. He would find a way to like turn it. And, and it wasn't, I don't think it was until the therapist actually pointed it out to you that you were like, oh.
Yeah.
And then you literally stopped doing it.
I literally was like, wow, I still catch myself every once in a while, even in my own head going, man, I think about how much I hurt you. And then I immediately go to how much I'm hurt about something.
And so when that happens, okay, so that is legit. I mean, that probably needs to be discussed. But the rule is you wait for her, or if it's him coming first, you wait for the first person to finish. You need to, and the other person, you know, apologizing or validating or, you know, making them feel understood, and then let the other person go. Yeah. Don't go back and forth, because we do that.
It just builds.
We did that a lot, and we probably, if we weren't careful, would still find ourselves in that spiral.
You can find yourself there because once you feel like either side feels like they're not being heard, then our natural inclination is to
talk louder,
faster. And pretty soon it's a shout match, and then it becomes more passionate.
And then you start making you and always and never.
Yeah, now we're denigrating the other person's character.
You're like fighting for your place in the disagreement.
So, well, guys, what I hope this is, somebody was saying this is exactly what's going on in theirs. It's going on in a lot. And I really, the one thing this generation needs, we talk about millennials and we talk about this, but I can tell you right now, number one, and this is something I've got to be very, very blunt about, is that if you hand a teenager one of these with no governing software on it to prevent them from getting this.
And even then, that's questionable.
I can tell you, don't even hand one of these. But if you hand them this, you are handing them the world and everything in it. And they will find it because the other side is looking for them.
And there is more of the other side.
And there's way more of the other side. So I want to point out to you that this is that my solution is our kids are going to have internet-capable devices.
I can tell you, if I was a teenager and I would have had a smartphone and social media, I guarantee I would have been trafficked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I would have been probably crazy by now. Literally, I would have something to myself to brain damage. So I want to point out to you all this, that stern warnings, but at the same time, the whole point of the show was to talk about the hope when you lean into this issue. I think one last thing we have to cover, and I don't want to end on a downer, but we have to end on a real moment. What happens when the other side, you, your husband, whoever, the one with the issue, doesn't want to face the issue? How do we handle that?
Well, I know what I would have done.
What would you have done?
I'd be a single mom.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, I would say I would have been happy, but the thing is, I would have been still, I still would have been trauma betrayed. And
I agree with you.
But I still would have needed to work on myself.
Adultery, as our Messiah says, is in the heart and in the eyeballs. So, gentlemen, don't call it anything else other than treachery against your wife and adultery. Treachery against your wife and adultery. According to our Messiah, she has every legal reason to go.
Yep.
What I would suggest is that you admit you have an issue and go invest in yourself. Don't let your shame dictate your worth. Go invest in yourself and in your marriage and go get some help. Get some books. Start leaning into this process. Because I hear women I actually don't hear from women too much that say, my husband's actually trying to get out of this.
It's very rare that I hear from women whose husbands are actually in therapy.
Trying to get past it. And I would definitely say that if they're not willing to change, I don't know what to tell you, especially on this subject. I can tell you that you have every legal right to go. And there's a lot of guys that would really disagree with that, but you're not even married anymore. If he's isolating, if he is abusing you to enable himself, if he's distancing himself from the kids, that's a tough word, but sometimes that wake-up call that wake-up call for a guy of coming home or having the threat of coming home to an empty house and having everything, it literally comes down to your addiction or your family. You have to make a choice. And the choice that was made, that we made, and I made, was that I was so sick of it that I couldn't handle it anymore. I was sick of what it was doing to us. I had a son who was getting ready to become, go into puberty, and it's like, I do not want him dealing with this. I don't want him to, you know, worry about this. You have to make a choice, and that is part of a man's walk, is sacrifice. You don't get what you get all the time. You don't get what you want all the time. You're going to have to suck it up, take the hit for the family, and become better. And you know it.
And the thing is, though, looking back on when you started recovery, was it really that bad?
It was. I will tell you this.
Like, what is it like?
The second that I came out of the therapist's office that first day, I said to you and I said to myself, I wish I had done this 20 years ago.
Now, we found a really good therapist. So you're not going to all feel that way. If you don't walk out feeling good and you don't connect with your therapist, keep finding another one.
Yep.
Because we did. We found the best we in found, the area.
To her credit, because I was still like, I don't know what I was, I don't remember what I was feeling, but I definitely wasn't moving forward. I wasn't excited about it because it was like, oh, I'm going to have to go talk about the thing I've been trying to hide for years.
What did you think it was going
to
be like?
To be honest with you, I didn't know. That was the biggest thing. I didn't know what it was going to be like.
Did you think it was going to be like you and me sitting on a couch and me just berating you?
Pretty much.
How horrible you were?
Pretty much. Or him telling me. But it wasn't that way because a good therapist will understand you're dealing with shame and he won't touch the shame, or she. They won't berate you and say you should have. You got to be careful with the word should. You should have done this, so you shouldn't have done that. Okay.
They don't should on you.
You don't should on you. And so understand that I walked out of there and I just said, I really wish I had done this years ago.
Oh my gosh, we wish we would have done it like maybe as soon as it had happened the very first time.
Man, I'll tell you that the struggle that I would have not had to deal with in the cost to our, it was literally like, there is not going to be one more day of this. There's not going to be one more day of this. And I didn't really, there were a couple real tough sessions. There was a real couple of sessions where it was real tough to face what I was really carrying around inside. And when he touched certain things, he knew where to go and navigate. And it was a tremendous relief to know that I wasn't alone and I wasn't walking through this. Even in our recovery process, we kind of knew we were coming out of sobriety. We're coming into recovery. And I remember saying, now what? Because the therapy thing we could always go back to, but it was kind of like, okay, now what? Then we found a podcast.
Ooh.
We found a podcast that I highly recommend.
It's like our favorite. Like, I remember you like binged on them.
I binged on it. It's called The Betrayed, The Addict, and The Expert. And what I loved about it was, a couple kind of exactly where we were.
The Betrayed, The Addicted, and The Expert.
Did I say that right?
Because if you search it the other way, you probably won't find it.
Okay.
They do have a Facebook page. But yeah. It's and a website that you can get registered with them to listen to the podcasts. And it's really good. They first talk about how do you know you have betrayal trauma? How do you know you're addicted?
Yeah.
And so they talk about it. So even if you don't have our story, you'll probably resonate with a lot of it because they
something
go into
in
things like they go into codependency. They go into triggers. They go into depression. They talk about grief. So it applies to a lot.
They talk about setbacks. They talk about relapses. They talk about all that stuff. And it kind of made Jennifer and I go, oh, okay. So that's all right. And we're like, okay, so that's what it should look like. You know, difficult word again, but you
and
know.
While you can relapse, so can I. And actually, it's funny. I actually had a relapse this week just because something's triggered. I didn't deal with it. And then I relapsed to some old behavior. And I was able to bring up a little bit of bitterness. And then it just kind of.
Yeah.
So then I dealt with it. And
it's a recovery for both. And I know that she didn't ask for her issue. And I didn't ask for mine, to be honest with you, at five. But here we are, and we had to face reality. And I am grateful that every time we pray what the next step is, every time we pray, the Father gives us the next step. And I encourage you to do that. Many of you, especially ladies out there, your husband may be going through this, or gentlemen, if you're going through this, I'm going to tell you, humble yourself before he has to humble you, okay? And go submit. I know that's a difficult word. to somebody who's an expert in this field. And by the way, you do not want, not that they're not good, you do not want somebody who's a general counselor. You want a sexual addiction recovery specialist.
Yes. You and need they somebody usually have master's degrees or PhDs.
In that. And so I want that guy. I don't want somebody who has a broad overview.
Right, because I've actually heard horror stories from friends that when they spoke to a counselor and the homework they were given is like, when I'm like, that's like the worst homework you could ever get in this situation.
All it was like digging up shame, indulging shame.
What is the homework that we have? We still haven't even started it.
Oh, wow. We have to write out our relationship history.
Yeah, so we go.
The highs and lows and everything.
We go
like
and
that.
We talk about the different aspects of our marriage.
Literally walk through it.
And we talk about our feelings. And the reason why, and I'm not saying you guys should start this if you're just starting, but we're at that stage in our recovery where our therapist is like, okay, Jennifer, you're going to start to push that shame button on him a little bit. Because what I would do is I would try really hard not to push the shame button. And so I was doing a disservice to him.
Yeah. And I want to call it what it is. When I am, my anger is affecting somebody else's behavior, that's called abuse. Okay, I mean, let's put it the way
I would
it is.
Have never said that.
But no, I'm going to say it because that was a revelation to me this week and through.
Well, and that's what betrayal trauma is I probably was acting like a spouse that had been abused. And so now I'm in recovery for that.
Yep.
Even though I'm not afraid of him, I was afraid of hurting him or bringing up that hurt and pain because of then how he responded to me.
Yeah, and so now she can express herself. Where were we going?
We have gone. I need to put a baby to bed.
Yeah, we need to go. But I really, let's see, this is an hour and a half hour. We're doing an hour and a half. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think we'll do this again in the near future on another show. I think this was a very good time. I got to get up for my day job for a little while longer. But if you would help us out with it. But this is what we're doing. This is what we like. What we want to share with people. And so I definitely want to make sure that you understand that get the idea of perfection out of your head. Just get pushing forward and go.
Yeah. So please do us a favor and share this video. This applies to not just people that are in the Torah observant community or even in the Christian community. It applies to everyone who wants a good marriage, who are dealing with this. The therapy process that we went to is not specialized for Bible-believing people.
I want to bring that up too, because I get this question a lot. Is it okay that my therapist is a counselor who's a Christian and not Torah observant? Good luck finding a Torah observant sexual addiction recovery specialist.
Maybe someday we'll be there.
Maybe we will, but I'm going to tell you right now, my guy is a believer, and I'm going to tell you, when we get in that room, the Holy Spirit shows up. And that's all I care about.
And even a really good therapist who isn't a believer, they're going to acknowledge the fact that you are, and they're going to respect that too. So just keep that in mind. If they're not respecting your...
And by the way, they work for you.
Yeah.
And so if you don't feel comfortable, you get to walk away.
Yep.
Okay. Just wanted to bring that up because that's a question I get a lot. Is it okay that my counselor is not Torah observant? Yes.
And they don't give you medication. That's the other thing. Yeah. There's no medication for this.
No, there's not. In fact, that would probably hinder the process.
And if they do, then they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. So anyways, guys, we could go on all night long, but we need to call it an evening. And we thank you all for your kind attention. And we pray that this is a blessing to you. There is hope. Ladies, get praying and pray big prayers. Pray big prayers. And gentlemen, humble yourselves before he humbles you. And if you need help, which most of you, if you are regularly using, you do. Okay. You don't realize how you don't realize that you're drunk all the time until you try to get sober. And you don't realize the damage in your relationship until you try to fix it. And I'm going to tell you right now that there is nothing the Father can't fix.
Right. He's sitting there literally waiting for you to come to him.
Yep. You have not because you ask not. And I would definitely say that the big thing in both of these is prayer. Lean into the therapy, lean into the books, lean into what they say. We always try to avoid it because we don't want to admit we have an issue. But I'm going to tell you right now, please lean into it. And I pray freedom for everyone. We are actively working. Here's the good thing. Once you get a taste of recovery, I can't wait to see what's around the next corner.
We actually think therapy is kind of fun.
Yeah, it becomes fun. It becomes like, okay.
You learn things about yourself and, you know, we're okay.
Tell us how to be better. Tell us how to have more peace. Tell us how to communicate better. Who doesn't want that? People with pride. Sorry. So anyways, that was the last pot shot.
Okay, good night, everyone. I gotta go put a baby in bed.
May Yahweh bless you and keep you, and may you walk with Yeshua every day in his power and his spirit, and may his blood cover all the sins. Don't let the enemy tell you that there is no recovery for this. There is. Don't believe the lies, and keep walking the lion's path. Shalom.